Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever time you are listening. My name is Tanura, and welcome back to another episode of the Students Era Podcast. Today's guest has probably had one of the more cooler, or as I like to say, but more of the quirkier journeys in academia, going from a student athlete to literally coaching the very same university. Please welcome master student and student athlete Farhan Feroz. Farhan, thank you so much for joining in, and just introduce a bit about and tell us a bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me in the first place. So my name is Farhan. I've studied in Middlesex for the past 5 years. I have 2 degrees, one's undergrad in business marketing and master's in digital marketing. I've done athletics for the past 5 to 6 years now, 5 years I would say. And yeah, now I'm the coach.
Well, who would have thought that you went from a student athlete to a coach? Me, definitely not, ladies and gentlemen. I'm kidding. So I think my first question to you is, it's actually regarding your master's degree, is obviously being a student and having that work and obviously having your own personal life as well. How has that been as a challenge to balance work, personal, and academic life?
I think it's more of time management. Ever since first year, I've been like so social, like I'm so into social events, sports, and it's more of like time management. So like I would make sure like, okay, the assignments are on this time and the work time is this time, sports this. So I kind of like make sure everything's productive and make sure I don't waste much time on it. So that's also there.
Okay, so moving forward on the idea of time management as well, obviously now you are the coach of the Middlesex University athletics team, one of the most successful teams in the university, by the way, so congratulations going to that.
Thank you.
As a coach, how do you try to instill core values like time management or focusing on certain aspects of training from your end, since you've gone through that entire cycle yourself?
I think being the youngest coach, I would relate to the athletes much more because I've gone through the process. Like if you have a coach who is much more older, they wouldn't understand. They would, but like the times are changing. But like for a person like me, I can understand like if they have assignments, if they have some other competitions, because my team has like, they're multi-talented. So they have like, we have dancers, you have rugby players, and you have like people who play other sports. So for them trying to juggle it out, like I kind of like explain, okay, this is when the competitions are, this is how we're going to prepare them to be at their best shape and form in this amount of time. I know there's like time restraints and challenges according to it. So I make sure like everything isn't like a week advance or a month advance. I make sure like I do my part so things get much more easier for them.
So I think it's a lot about, you know, on top of relating, it's more for
preparation at the end of the day. Like if you prepare so much well in advance, you sure everything is on point, like from your side for the athletic stuff, then I think they can take the rest, they should be fine they're doing the rest of the stuff.
And I mean, it also adds to like their personal life, because they're gaining a skill that helps personally as well.
It helps them personally as well, because again, like if you, how do I say this? We had like pep talks literally before every session, just like, so if ever they're going through any difficulty, I'll maybe reach out, so just like we could sort something out and make it as convenient and comfortable for them.
That's actually a very thoughtful way of helping out your athletes as well, so congrats on that. But also touching on the part of instilling, because a lot about university life is also the social life it tries to put in. Regardless of any university you go to, I'm pretty sure they've got the sports and the social clubs that just run into it. And one thing I realized, you know, over the last 3 years of being in university is sports clubs especially, and social clubs as well, they teach you a lot of core values and lessons that you can take home and instill in your personal life as well. So what do you think is the true importance of focusing on core values when you're teaching or when you're trying to train your student athletes?
I think uplifting one or the other and helping each other and to make them as a better athlete. But for me, it's more of teamwork, helping each other out, motivating each other. like to be the best versions of themselves, because that there's like a couple of few core values I follow with the team to have a better success rate as well, and make sure like we have like a friendship and a bond beyond the track as well, because this kind of helps them improve the, what do you call it, the chemistry, I would say.
Like, I mean, you can't be wrong. Like in any sport, chemistry is vital.
Chemistry is vital as well. You could probably have the best players, like all the, like you can probably have the best university level athletes in one team, but if they do not have chemistry, it's not going to work. For so many years, Middlesex, we have proven that, like, even though athletics is like an individual sport, we make sure we have that togetherness, the team aspect. So that's because when it comes to like, we can win the individual medals with individual events, but if you want to win like championships or like positioning at relays, you need a team. You need it to work together as well.
I mean, yeah, that's actually so true. Like even if you look at modern day sports teams as well, like they've got big name players, but if they are not chemistry, if they don't gel together, it doesn't work out. Reminds me of a few football teams that I've heard of. We're not going to get into that Manchester United England. Anyways.
Okay.
So focusing on, you know, friendship aspect and chemistry in that sense. One of the things I realized when it comes to any sport, like obviously when people hear the idea of athletics, they think, oh, individual sport. Like, yeah, okay, a lot of the events can be individualistic, but team chemistry, like obviously instilling ideas from the coach to the players, don't you think that, and don't you believe that team chemistry also means that the players themselves can help each other out?
Yeah, that's the whole point. So I make sure like everybody in the team, like they help each other out. So let's say we have like a workout or like a training sessions where you have like people who can push each other. Like I think working out alone is like quite difficult when it comes to like athletics. It needs serious amount of discipline, but I think what would make things a bit more easier is working out together. So in these training sessions, I kind of like group them up in a position where every, like if you have like two athletes with same ability when it comes to fitness, I group them up so then they can like compete against each other and push each other as well.
So it's kind of like pushing the boundaries of what they can do.
Yeah, more like that, I would say. Like back when I was a captain as well, I used to like take care of the whole long distance team, I would say. Like I would help them to like push through past their limits. So I'm kind of like following that same routine here as well. But of course, it's not something grueling, but it's like, it's more of like a slower step kind of thing. So like, it's like a more of a progressive thing, like weekly basis.
I do get your point, because when you group them together, it does create the competitive environment, and competitive environment is always good to like improve your skill.
The only way you can improve yourself is through competitive environment. Like if you do not have anyone to compete with, you're not going to like improve well upon it, so.
Fair. How was your competitive environment in the university, man?
That's funny. I think that when I joined first year back in 2018, this is my first year of athletics. 2018, I wasn't the best. Like that's when, if you want to see me lose, that was probably the time everybody should have seen. I only had like one win that season, that's it. And rest, everything was lost. It was just like fourth, fifth. Yeah, and it was just, I was there, I was so close. 2019 was not bad. I got a couple of wins here and there, but it was more of like team-based things. So it was like.
So like the relays and stuff?
Yeah, the relays, long distance relay stuff, but it was okay. I was kind of, it was a bit better than my first year, but 2019 I was getting there. 2020 was COVID. Now I think a lot of people stopped. This where like, no, I'm going to like use this time to like improve upon myself. I think the most significant improvement I had was 2020 to 2021.
So COVID season.
COVID season, exactly. COVID season, there was a running season because it's a non-contact sport. There were a couple of events. That's when I started like, I'm getting a hang of it. And I think 2021 was the year, like, yep.
That's where the peak started.
That's where the peak started. And I would say like, I haven't reached my peak yet. I would say it even, but that's more of like an athlete mentality kicking in. But I would say like,
I mean, that's the different mentalities people have.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think by 2021, I am like, even till now, I can tell that I am literally one of the best athletes when it comes to...
And you are still competing, right? Even though being a coach?
Yeah, definitely. I still compete outside. So I don't compete for the inter-university ones, but I definitely do compete in Dubai for the Dubai, like the long distance runs and track and field events over here. So yeah, I can still say that, I am one of the best ones.
I mean, okay, so I liked how you decided to touch a bit about your peak, because I want to just instill a couple of facts over here. So are you ready for these ones?
Oh boy, I'm not ready.
So last year, If I'm not mistaken, the Middlesex University athletics team won around 60 to 65 or 70 plus medals. Well, it's more than 50 medals. I can guarantee that for sure. And our guest here today, Farhan, is responsible for about 15 or 20% of those medals?
14 medals, just the inter-university competition.
14? Oh, so, well, congratulations on that, just inter-university. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot more competitions that we aren't including.
Yeah, so things like I haven't included the ones which I compete outside, so just the inter-university ones, 14
medals.
But hey,
14 medals for the university is still an amazing achievement, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So I think my question to you is, when it came to racing, like obviously representing the university, when it came to all your races, before you go on that track, what is that one thing that you try to like focus about, either whether it's about yourself, whether it's on the track, what's that one thing you try to focus on before every race that motivates you to go for the instant gold?
I think it's more of confidence, I would say. I think you should build the confidence. Like, if you're not confident at the start line, you're not gonna like do well on the race. That's just me. But like, I think as years went by, especially last year, I was confident enough, like, yes, I can win this. And it's more of like, I think as of now, like obviously, like priorities matter, like they change like as years go by. But for me, it's more of like winning. So you know you're doing your best, so might as well get the first position, second, third, whatever it may be. But I always aim for the gold. But like, yeah, I think for me, the main motivating factor would probably be the medals, to be honest, at this point. Yeah. Maybe in like 10, 20 years, it wouldn't matter to me anything as it's for me right now. But I think that's the main goal, I would say.
That's understandable. That is definitely understandable. I mean, like even for me.
Like, I think another one would be like, a lot of people think like, okay, you're very muscular. How can you be a long distance athlete? Like, I think that's just,
that was people a big, actually say that.
People actually have a question mark because if you would put me in a group of runners who are competing against me, they'd be like, who? And if you have no information about the background, who's likely to win the long distance event? They'll all point at the skinniest person out there. Like, they're gonna point it easy because that's a no brainer.
Fair enough.
But then, that's not how it is, because again, it's quite difficult for a person who is quite muscular to like win like long distance, like 3K, 5K, whatever, it may be 800 also for all I know. But I think I want to prove that like, hey, if you can train well, if you have right appropriate program, and if you train your lungs and cardio well, you should be able to do and perform well. So that's one of the things, because I think once I joined, like back in my first year of running, people were like, yep, your stride length is weak, you can't. You gas out. So there were like so many hurdles.
The criticisms are just coming in.
Yeah, it was just coming in. I was like, okay, you know what? It is possible. It might take some time, but it's not impossible to get there. So it's like that. So that's why I say I'm not in my peak yet, even till now. I wouldn't say, because it's just like 4 years, 5 years of running. That's it. And I still have more to, I think.
Coming soon? Coming soon?
Coming soon. Yeah,
coming exactly. Soon. That's exactly. I love to hear that. So talking a bit more about now the new work life that you've recently achieved being the coach, I actually want to ask you, like, what was that reaction at, like, you're officially almost done with your master's degree, right? You just have it in your hand, and then, like, I don't know, probably 48 hours later, hi, we're calling to inform you that there is a position for the head coach of the athletics team at the very university you studied in. So what was that initial reaction, and how was that, did you take it like an honor, or like what was that reaction to the opportunity provided?
I was surprised and shocked at the same time, because they probably could get like, I'm sure they could get like more experienced coach, definitely, but like they came and approached me first and told the whole situation is, hey, this is what's happening. And I was like, okay, this is a big step up, because I've been coaching like 5 to 10 year old kids like for the past 1.5 years. So I kind of, I'm not like too new to the coaching scene, but like I definitely needed like a bit of an upgrade. And I would know, like, okay, I love helping people, I want to help them reach their fitness goals. So I think the best way to reach them would be like help this Middlesex team, because this is what made me an athlete in the first place. Like, so the thing about me is I've only started running or like being in like in a proper sport only at the age of 19. Like before then, a lot of people, like a lot of the athletes I coach, have been doing athletics ever since what, 11, 12, 13, like quite young, and they've been running since school as well. For me, I didn't even know what running was up to like when I was
So it was a big change.
It was a really big change, and that's another criticism I used to get, like, you're too late to the sport. Like, I was like, not really, like, it probably can get there. So that's one of the things. But I think the main reason why I chose it is like, okay, this is a big step up and I want to see what I can bring to the coaching side of things, or can I be a good coach? Is also a question mark, because just because you're a great athlete doesn't mean you can be a great coach as well. So that's like a
I see that.
It's like a test as well for me. So like, I want to see how far I can push this. So let's see.
That's fair. I mean, you are following in the footsteps of many people, many players turned coaches. Zinedine Zidane, Xavi, Gareth Southgate. So I keep going with the list.
Probably. If I can make an impact in the track and field scene over here, which is not big, it's still in development stages, but like, if I can make my name known in this
That's still sport, very big.
That's still good enough for me.
I mean, talking about like making a name for yourself, obviously knowing Middlesex's reputation in sports, especially in athletics, I'm pretty sure there must have been a pressure weighing on you taking this.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely is. I think my coach has like given me assurance, like trophies and medals don't matter in the end of the day. I know you'll do a good job. And I was like, yeah, I know that. But like in my head, I just go like, yeah, but the pressure, because it came to a point like every university came to know like, yeah, they got a new coach now, so they can take this in two ways. Either we'll be like, uh-oh, he's the coach now, and we are faced against him. Or number two is like, oh, they don't have a proper coach anymore. This could be our chance at beating. So, yeah, I'm not giving them an easy fight.
In your experience over the last term, which side do you think most people were thinking about with the results? Was it option A or option B?
it's definitely option... Great, I forgot what the options were.
Option A meaning like, oh no, this is the coach, we have to work harder, or is it option B, oh no, this
is
the coach?
It's more on A. It's more on A. I would say it's more on A. They're getting a slight bit of a hope at B, but no, I'm not giving it to them.
Strong words. I'm saying that right now, strong words.
Strong words. We have like another 4 months left, so we'll get a better indication on how things are going to turn out in the next coming years. So let's see. You know.
All right. I mean, I guess with that being said, that is all the time we have for the episode. So Farhan, thank you so much for taking part and taking time off your busy schedule, training the guys, taking care of the facilities. But just before we end, I do have one final question to you.
Okay.
So obviously the recent events of the FIFA World Cup, Argentina winning the tournament. So I think my main question to you is, with that, there was so much, and I can definitely agree with you, there was so much from both sides saying the ref did this, the ref did that. Personal opinion on how the referee did that game right now. Let's go.
Absolutely pathetic. I think every referee for all the Argentina matches, pathetic. Like, especially Netherlands or Argentina. What was that? Like, they're just giving away free car.
I mean, no, he did punt the ball into the dugout.
And it's not even that. The amount of penalties, and I'm just like, what is the point of VAR at this point? Like, what is this?
I mean, let's be real. VAR has been broken since introduction.
It's been broken since the introduction. I don't know, when was it? 2012? 2011? I'm not sure when exactly, but...
First of all, VAR took a long time to come in.
But it all happened because of England, so thanks... So thank the Lord to 2010's infamous lose 4-2 to Germany. So
you're an England fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
That must have been a tough one.
Yeah, I think the game would have changed there. But oh well, it's 2010 England. It's not the best. But like now, I think we have a much more competent team. But the refereeing this World Cup, yeah, they can rot in hell, to be honest.
2026.
It's in America, so let's see how that turns out.
That's going to be questionable as well.
Mexico is also there, so... Hopefully.
Fair point. But anyways, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed your time thoroughly being part of the podcast.
Chill. Thanks for having me here.
And to everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. If you guys have anything you guys want to share about Farhan, leave a comment down below. But with that being said, my name is Tinura, and thank you for listening to another episode of the Students Era Podcast. Thank you and have a great day ahead.